Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 31st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us day by day the events that are taking place around us, the changes that are happening according to your word, so that we might be prepared for the time to come. We ask for the strength that you have promised and the faith that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you three articles. Hopefully we will get to the third. But they have to do with the citizenship of the United States. Now, of course, there's been quite a lot of talk about the illegal aliens and how they are being dealt with at the southern border. But I want you to know that the administration at the moment does not only zero in on illegal aliens. They're also taking a look at some of those who have received citizenship. The first article that I'd like to look at today is found in the Rewire News website. That's R-E-W-I-R-E News, Rewire News website. And the article is published October the 31st, 2018. The writer of the article is Samuel Spital. His last name is spelled S-P-I-T-A-L. And the title of the article is, Trump Wants to Change Who is a Citizen. The Constitution doesn't let him, and neither can we. The title again, Trump Wants to Change Who is a Citizen. The Constitution doesn't let him, and neither can we. Here's the article. That proposal harks back to a time when white supremacy was enshrined by law. And it may be the administration's most direct assault yet on our democracy. In an interview published on Tuesday by Axios, President Donald Trump said he was preparing an executive order to end birthright citizenship in the United States. That proposal harks back to a time when white supremacy was indeed enshrined by law. And they may be heading in that direction once again. When the U.S. Constitution was ratified in 1788, it made no difference or no reference to the qualifications for citizenship except for the provision that authorized Congress to regulate naturalization. However, the Constitution implicitly denied citizenship to enslaved black Americans by treating them as property rather than people. Under the Fugitive Slave Clause, slaves who escaped to free states could not become free citizens, but instead would be delivered up on claim of the party to whom their service or labor may be due. In 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court went even further in enshrining by law a white supremacist vision of citizenship. In Dred Scott v. Sandford, widely regarded as the worst decision in the court's history, Chief Justice Roger Taney ruled that black Americans, including free black Americans, were not intended to be included under the word citizen in the Constitution and can therefore claim none of the rights and privileges which that instrument provides for the secures for and can claim, let me read that again, and can therefore claim none of the rights and privileges which that instrument provides for and secures the citizens of the United States. Let me reread that entire paragraph so that you can make sure that you get it straight. In 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court went even further in enshrining by law a white supremacist vision of citizenship. In Dred Scott v. Sandford, widely regarded as the worst decision in the court's history, Chief Justice Roger Taney ruled that black Americans, including free black Americans, were not intended to be included under the word citizen in the Constitution, and can therefore claim none of the rights and privileges which that instrument provides for and secures the citizens of the United States. Because black people were not citizens, Taney reasons, they had no rights which the white man was bound to respect. Dred Scott was one of the factors that led to the Civil War. In the final days of that conflict, Congress passed the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery. But in the immediate aftermath of the war, many jurisdictions in the South passed laws known as the Black Codes, designed to return newly freed black Americans to enslavement-like conditions. Congressional Republicans recognized that another constitutional amendment was necessary to codify the outcome of the Civil War. Hence, the Reconstruction Congress passed the 14th Amendment, ratified in 1868, that amendment begins, "All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside." The 14th Amendment changed everything. As with so much else in the U.S. legal history, the courageous pursuit of dignity, justice, and equality by black Americans enshrined new freedoms and rights for all people in this country. The 14th Amendment reversed Dred Scott, yes, but it didn't stop there. In supplying the definition of citizenship that the original Constitution lacked, the 14th Amendment didn't just say who could be citizens, but who were in fact citizens. Anyone naturalized or born in the United States. For this reason, as Sherrilyn Ifill, president of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, has written, "Efforts to undo birthright citizenship undermine the foundation of black and indeed all civil rights." This is what makes the proposed executive order to eliminate birthright citizenship so chilling. The 14th Amendment is the legal basis for realizing the ideal of the United States as an egalitarian and pluralistic democracy. It is this ideal that the president and his allies want to erase. This proposed executive order is not about immigration policy for non-citizens. It is about preserving the power of white citizens in the face of an increasingly diverse electorate by pretending that a significant number of predominantly black and brown citizens are, in fact, not citizens at all. To achieve this end, the president would deny citizenship to some people born in the United States, the first time any president has attempted to do so since the Civil War. This proposal would be breaking the law. The language of the 14th Amendment unequivocally says that anyone born in the United States is a U.S. citizen. Consistent with that plain language, Congress has expressly recognized that persons born in the United States are citizens at birth. Executive orders cannot override constitutional amendments. Not even a new law can do that. No matter what the president's lawyers say, the Constitution can only be changed by amendment. Amendments can only be proposed by a constitutional convention called by two-thirds of the state legislatures, or by a two-thirds majority in both houses of Congress. The proposed amendment would then need to be approved by three-quarters of the states. That's a reassuring fact, but it doesn't mean we can simply ignore the proposed executive order. The president's mere willingness to flout the 14th Amendment is an indication of how far we have traveled into uncharted territory. In the last 21 months have taught us anything, it is that we cannot take our laws and rights for granted. The president has made his intentions clear. We remain silent at our peril. And the "we" means all of us. For decades, adherents of the conservative legal movement have insisted they are wary of government overreach and that the plain text of the Constitution must be strictly enforced. If that was anything more of a convenient talking point, now is the time to speak up. If you don't, if we all don't, it may be too late. If the president can override the plain text of the Constitution with an executive order, we are a country ruled not by law, but by whim. And as I said before, that article was found in the Rewire News, published October the 31st, 2018, written by Samuel Spital. The title, "Trump Wants to Change Who is a Citizen. The Constitution Doesn't Let Him, and Neither Can We." This article will be published on our website today, and you can read it there, and I would suggest that you print it and file it, keep it with you. Another article of the same vein is found in the Salon website. That's Salon, S-A-L-O-N, And that article was published on October the 30th, 2018. The title of that article is Trump Wants to Change the Constitution by Executive Order. Trump Wants to Change the Constitution by Executive Order. The writer of that article is Matthew Rosa, R-O-Z-S-A. And also on the subject of birthright citizenship. Here's the article. President Donald Trump is planning on issuing an executive order that would revoke birthright citizenship, a decision that will almost certainly set off a major legal battle, given that birthright citizenship is protected by the 14th Amendment. It was also told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment. Guess what? You don't, Trump told Axios on HBO. Number one, you don't need that. Number two, you could definitely. You can definitely do it with an act of Congress. But no, they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has no end. When he was asked when and how he planned on issuing his executive order, the president responded that it is in the process. It'll happen. With an executive order, that's what you're talking about, right? It's a very interesting. I don't think anybody knew that but me. I thought I was the only one. Although opponents of birthright citizenship have claimed that the 14th Amendment doesn't guarantee automatic citizenship to everyone who was born in the United States, historian Stephen Kamoritz took to Twitter on Tuesday morning to explain that that was the intention of the men who drafted the 14th Amendment. On birthright citizenship, read the debate in the U.S. Senate on January the 30th to 1866. The framers of the Civil Rights Act, the immediate precursor of the 14th Amendment, and the first place national citizenship was codified. They knew exactly what they were doing. He added, they were clarifying the well-understood principle that children born in the U.S. were citizens regardless of the immigration status of their parents. They even understood this to be true of children whose parents would then have been radically ineligible for citizenship, such as the Chinese. The only people excluded from citizenship on this basis were 1, Indians under tribal government, and 2, children born to the families of foreign diplomats. Read the debates. No one thought the children of non-naturalized Germans, for example, were not automatically citizens, even before the Civil Rights Act or 14th Amendment. As Kantoritz also pointed out, the only objection to this principle came from those who insisted that the U.S. has been and should remain a white man's government, and that vision of the U.S. was precisely what the Civil Rights Act and 14th Amendment were intended to overturn. Again, read the debates. It's possible to make a normative argument against birthright citizenship. I disagree with that argument, but it's possible. But there's no legitimate originalist case against birthright citizenship as formulated in 1866. As he points out in another thread, the Supreme Court upheld the principle again with reference to then racially ineligible Chinese persons in Wong Kim Ark of 1898. Fox News Research published a tweet that attacked the idea of birthright citizenship by citing statistics about how prevalent undocumented immigrant births in the United States have become. But even that tweet notes that the number of children born to undocumented immigrants in the U.S. has been declining for over a decade. The American Civil Liberties Union has also spoken out against Trump's proposed executive order. The president cannot erase the Constitution with an executive order, and the 14th Amendment's citizenship guarantee is clear. Omar Jaswat, director of the ACLU's Immigration Rights Project, said in a statement, "This is a transparent and blatantly unconstitutional attempt to sow division and fan the flames of anti-immigrant hatred in the days ahead of the midterms." Now, that's the second article that we've taken a look at today on that subject. And that article is found in the Salon website. Trump wants to change the Constitution by executive order. And the third and final article that we will look at today is Trump targets ridiculous right to citizenship for anyone born in U.S. That's found in the Huffington Post, published this year, August the 21st, 2019. The writer of that article is Carla Herrera. Let me give you the title again. Trump targets ridiculous right, and ridiculous is in parentheses, ridiculous right to citizenship for anyone born in U.S. Here's that article. President Donald Trump said he was very seriously considering issuing an executive order to make changes to birthright citizenship, which some argue is protected as a constitutional right, and called it ridiculous. When asked about the issue outside of the U.S. of the White House on Wednesday, Trump criticized those who have used birthright citizenship to become U.S. citizens. Help us tell more of the stories that matter from voices too often remain unheard. Where you have a baby on our land, you walk over the border, have a baby, congratulations, the baby is now a U.S. citizen, Trump said. Ridiculous. We're looking at birthright citizenship very seriously, he continued. It's frankly ridiculous. Trump moved on to another question from reporters without explaining the plan further, according to White House pool reporters. Birthright citizenship, which bestows U.S. citizenship on anyone born on U.S. soil, is enshrined as a right under the 14th Amendment. It was ratified to grant citizenship to emancipated slaves after the Civil War. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. That is Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Certain concern over birthright citizenship was renewed after the Trump administration announced Wednesday that it was rolling out a new set of guidelines that would allow immigration officials to detain migrant families who cross the border illegally for an indefinite amount of time. The new rules would supersede existing regulations established after a 1997 class action lawsuit known as the Flores Settlement that limits the amount of time that immigrant children can be held in government custody to 20 days or less. Trump has previously threatened to take away birthright citizenship as a part of his campaign promise to suffocate illegal immigration into the U.S. Last October, Trump floated his plans to use an executive order to end birthright citizenship for children born in the U.S. In an interview with Axios, Trump wrongly claimed that the U.S. was the only country in the world that allows for birthright citizenship. In fact, there are at least 30 countries that grant citizenship to those born on the country's soil. When Trump roused up fears of ending birthright citizenship last year, former President Barack Obama responded by reminding Trump of the Constitution. A president doesn't get to decide on his own who's an American citizen and who's not, Obama said during a Democratic campaign rally in Florida. That's not how the Constitution of the United States works, added Obama, who once taught constitutional law at the University of Chicago. That's not how the Bill of Rights works. That's not how democracy works. So, my dear brother, my sister, this is the move. First, there was a move against the illegal aliens coming across the border, and now there is a move against those who are already citizens, not just green card holders, but those who have been born in this country. It is easy to see the direction in which this country is heading. It is easy to see the direction in which this administration is leaning. And you and I today need to understand that we are heading into the time of the continued speech of the dragon by the United States of America. And this will ultimately not only refer to the United States, but it will ultimately begin to spread across the entire world as America begins to force the rest of the world to comply with what it considers to be a Christian nation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to warn us, and we thank you that you continue to show us daily the events that are taking place around us. We recognize that our only protection lies with you. And so today we renew our commitment to you, asking that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, August the 31st, 2019.